is Billy Brim and the Voice of One Witness radio broadcast coming to you today from Prayer Mountain in the Ozarks in Branson, Missouri. In 1967, I told someone speaking in tongues was of the devil. Now, why did I say this? My great-grandparents were a part of the pre-Azusa Street revival that came down from Topeka, Kansas, through the Coweta, Oneida, Broken Arrow, Tulsa area. And my great-grandparents received the baptism with the Holy Spirit. However, when it got, and I knew my great-grandmother. We have a prayer cabin here named for her. Their name was would have been, if it was pronounced the French way, Picard. But when they came to Oklahoma, they called it Pickard. But my great-grandmother, I knew. I really, you see, by the generation my dad was, there was my great-grandmother, then my grandmother, and then my dad. And when it came to my dad's generation, we were all denominational people. In fact, we were Baptist, which is very good, and loves the word and wins people to Jesus. God bless the Baptist. But we didn't speak with tongues. And when the charismatic move came, it was making a hit among the Baptists. It was lots and lots of Baptist people were seeing in the Word of God that there was, in fact, this experience of being baptized with the Holy Spirit and speaking with other tongues. And so we were losing a lot of Baptists. Now, we didn't have to lose them if they could have stayed in church, but lots of times they couldn't. So we lost them, and our state paper came out with a statement that speaking in tongues was of the devil. And so someone told me they were going to begin to speak with other tongues. And I said, oh, no, you're not. That's of the devil. And they said to me, they were just a brand new born-again Christian. They said to me, well, why is it in the Bible? And I said, well, I don't know, but I'm sure it's of the devil, because after all, I had read it in the paper, the state paper. And so that person forced me into the Word of God, reading scriptures about tongues that I had never read. Or if I had read them, I didn't understand them because I didn't hear them rightly divided. And so I got a telephone call about that time from Mrs. Lloyd Honeyacre, Dr. Lloyd Honeyacre's wife, Allie, in Collinsville, Oklahoma. And she said, Billy, may I come to visit you? And I said, yes. I didn't know her, but she came to visit me, came to my house. And when I answered the door, there was this tall, thin doctor's wife with a great big, huge Wallensack recorder on her knee. And she said, Billy, I've come to play a tape for you. I didn't know what play a tape for you was. This is 1967, BC, before cassette, before anything. She came and plopped that big thing down on my coffee table, played a 7-inch tape, and this 7-inch reel tape was a very Texas voice that I found out later to be Kenneth E. Hagin, and it was on the Father's care. John 17, how that God loves us just as much as he loves Jesus. And to tell you, for a while God had been softening my heart. The Holy Ghost will soften you. He will soften your, he will soften the hard ground. And so I was, when I finished listening to that tape, it was carefully chosen. I'm sure it did not mention the baptism with the Holy Spirit or speaking with tongues. And so when she finished, she said, Mrs. Brim, don't you think before you convince Mrs. Martin that speaking with tongues is of the devil, you should know more about the subject? I said, yes, I really should. She said, next week, this man, imagine, next week, this man is teaching a seminar on the subject in Tulsa, and I will take you and Mrs. Martin there. And so she took me, and she took another deacon's wife, Renona Standridge, and we went, and she marched us down to the front row. Even in those days, it was hard to get a front row seat. It was just a small meeting at 1029 North Utica, with about 150 people cram-jammed in there. But Brother Hagin had been given a vision. You need to read the book, I Believe in Visions, by Kenneth E. Hagin. See the visions and see who he was and what his life meant. And there was a vision in there about, actually it was about the charismatic move in part. It was a vision where he saw a great river flowing into a beautiful garden, and there was Jesus in the garden, and this river, a flower garden, and this river turned to people. He saw people from every walk of life, and the Lord told him they're going to come into the fullness of the Holy Spirit from every denomination. They're going to raise praise to me. And so he was guided by the Lord to go to a neutral place, and the denominational people would come there. This was the days of full gospel businessmen. Oh, there were wonderful days. I, myself, I'd never worshiped with the Methodists. I'd never worshiped with Catholics or Episcopalians. And we would go to meetings. Later on, we would go to meetings. I'm talking about after Brother Hagin's seminar. Later on, we would go to full gospel businessmen's meetings. And I just loved being with the body of Christ. That's when I had such a feeling, such a yearning, and it became so real to me that the body of Christ is one. And at that time, he was bringing us into a marvelous, so you haven't been a part of a move of God, you've missed something. But we were part of this charismatic move. It was so blessed. As I went there to the meetings, a young housewife, I'd been born again as a child at 8 years old. I was 28 at the time, and when I was there in the Brother Hagin meetings, and every single day, Brother Hagin, Papa and Mama Goodwin would open the Bible, and they would teach us from the Word of God on the baptism with the Holy Spirit and the evidence of speaking with other tongues. This is what has been put into that new book by Brother Hagin. The people who did this from the editorial department said that they took much of it from the very seminar where I received the Holy Spirit, and where Kenneth and Gloria Copeland were just young believers driving there in a car wired together with baling wire. One of this chapters, chapter 2, is entitled Salvation and the Infilling, Two Separate Experiences. You see, that's what I didn't know. I was born again of the Spirit, but I didn't know that I could be filled with the Spirit. So I'm reading to you from Brother Hagin's book. When I was a young denominational boy preacher, I began to see from the Word that although I was saved and I knew the Holy Spirit through His work and the new birth, I had not yet experienced what the Pentecostals called receiving the Holy Ghost. As I studied the New Testament, the Spirit of God helped me understand the passages on this subject. Through the Scriptures, I became convinced that if I received the same Holy Ghost the Pentecostals received, I'd have the same initial supernatural sign, the evidence of speaking with tongues. I wasn't going to be satisfied with anything less. I had been saved 4 years and raised from a deathbed, totally healed 3 years by that time. I knew I had the anointing of the Holy Spirit to preach. I knew it was the Holy Spirit who healed people when I prayed for them. But eventually I came to see very clearly that I needed to receive the Holy Ghost as a separate experience from salvation. I remember sitting there on those chairs and listening to Brother Hagin and listening to Papa and Mama Goodwin, and they went through the Word, Scripture by Scripture. And this little Baptist girl loved the Word of God. And Scripture by Scripture, I listened. I remember Brother Hagin showing from the book of John that the disciples, his followers, received salvation in, let's look in John chapter 20. Then, this is verse 19. Then the same day at evening, before the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and said to them, Shalom Aleichem. That's what he really said in Hebrew, peace upon you. And when he had so said, he showed them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus to them, Shalom Aleichem, peace upon you. As my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and saith unto them, Receive ye the Holy Ghost. It is at this moment that the disciples, his followers, were born of the Spirit of God. It is at this moment that they received their new birth. Now he said to these very same people in Acts chapter 1, it is recorded, when he is arising from the Mount of Olives, they are all gathered there around him. This is probably about 40 days or so after Passover. He's been appearing to them. And he says now he's going to leave. And he commanded them in verse 4 that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, you have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. Verse 8, and you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, in Judea, and in Samaria. Then they went to the upper room. They stayed there approximately 10 days. They're waiting for the next day, the day of Pentecost, the next day on the Hebrew calendar. And verse 1 of chapter 2, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. You know the story, and it says in verse 14, they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And I saw that right here, even the apostles, the disciples, had the experience of being born of the Spirit, and then they had the experience of being filled with the Spirit. And I'm reading to you now from page 39 of Brother Hagin's book on tongues. There's a verse in John 14, 16 through 17. I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive. What is Jesus talking about? Brother Hagin says, he says that the world cannot receive the Spirit of truth. The world refers to sinners, those outside the new birth in Christ. We've just seen in John 3:16 that the world can receive the new birth, but they cannot receive the infilling of the baptism, the infilling of the Holy Spirit, called the baptism with the Holy Spirit. In my dream, I was made known by God that we have to increase our speaking with tongues, that God, the charismatic move, even was about that. God, and there happened, many people were baptized with the Holy Spirit. But folks, we must stir ourselves up afresh and anew to pray in other tongues. This is the power of God through our lips to bring into being His glory. These last day events, if you're not yet filled with the Spirit, or this book is thick. I just dropped it. You can see how thick it is. It has 353 pages. I don't think. One of the last titles, Pressing into New Depths of Prayer, the Scriptural Scope of Praying in Tongues. You need this book. You can get it from us for only $10. Call 1-800-972-3447. We'll send you the book. And if you ask for words, we'll send you the free copy of Brother Hagin's mini book. Come be with us if you can. Go online and find out our itinerary. We're about to do an exciting seminar in Osage Beach, Missouri, March 16 through 20th. Call us at 1-800-972-3447 to register. It's free, but we need to know you're coming. Shalom.